Welcome to another Gaslit podcast. This is episode 46, and thank you very much indeed for listening, guys. It really does mean a lot. And the podcast here is growing week on week, and we're looking at the figures. They're not in the stratospheric numbers of Joe Rogan and Stephen Bartlett yet, but we're planning on getting there. So we're upgrading on some bits of kit and trying to make the whole thing a lot more presentable and a bit more professional. So I've got this new little light thing just above me here. So I do apologise if it's a bit annoying. So hopefully it'll actually make the video quality a lot better. And I'm messing around with little green screens to change the background here. So you can, rather than seeing like Anne's chair and the bits and pieces in the background, try and make it a little bit more pleasant. So I'll chuck out on social media a couple of ideas and comment on those and see what you like. And we'll run with those, not a problem at all. So this week's episode is all on F-gas, refrigeration gas, fluorinated gases, air conditioning, whatever you want to call it. So this week, I'm recording this on Sunday, so last week, me and Dave, we finished our last of our refrigeration training on the F-gas. And for me, getting my head around from a combustible gas sort of mindset and thought process and coming over to the refrigeration side. So there was some sort of adjustment to do to understand it all, but I felt the pennies and the clicks starting to happen. The pennies were dropping. So what I really want to share with you a couple of interesting facts around the refrigeration side of gas. So we all know that at sea level, the atmosphere around us is at 1 bar. Of pressure, and that's what holds us all in together. If we removed all the pressure around us, like if we went up into space and we watched those sci-fi films, I don't watch them, but we'd all suddenly start to boil and all that liquid would try to leave our body because there's nothing holding it in, which is a bit of a difficult one to understand if you don't quite experience it, I suppose, but none of us will, hopefully. But we've got 1 bar of atmosphere of pressure around us. So we know that water will boil at 100 degrees. So the water boiling and the air pressure goes hand in hand. So if we went down 1,000 metres below sea level, water would actually boil at 103 degrees. So it'll actually cost us more money to boil water at depth than it is at height. And at the top of Mount Everest, water will boil at 68 degrees. So it boils considerably lower. So to make a cup of tea on top of Everest, you got to drink it pretty quickly. And with the atmosphere, with the abundant temperature around you, or the low temperature as well, it won't last long at all, will it? So we understand that pressure affects the boiling point, or the critical point where it changes. So that in gas, it's the same. Gas is held under pressure and can become a liquid. So the refrigerant R448 alpha is a refrigerant gas, and it has a boiling point of minus 46 degrees at zero pressure, which is a difficult thing to understand. Like, boiling must mean temperature, but obviously gases, they work differently to what we fully understand. So on the high pressure side of the system, if we maintain that, maintained it at 10 bar of pressure, the boiling point of the liquid vapor is now 19 degrees from minus 46, and that's in Celsius. So that on the refrigeration cycle, if we could have the temperature at 18 degrees, it will be a liquid, and at 20 degrees, it'll be a vapor in a perfect system with perfect gas. So have a quick look at this image here we've got for you. So where we got the compressor, that basically is just a pump. And that just pumps the vapor. We can't put liquid in there, because if we put liquid in there, it'll actually break the pump. So this is a very high pressure, typically like a scroll pump, which is like a, it sort of spins and it compresses the gas as it goes. Some old pumps are used like a piston, but most air conditioning systems actually use like this scroll type. It's a lot more quieter, and it's a lot more efficient, and it's a lot more compact as well. So as we come out of this image here, we come out on the discharge line. So now this is a superheated high pressure vapor, if you can imagine that. So superheated means it's above its point, and in the R44A, that means it's above that 19 degrees. or 18 degrees, whatever it was. So then that then comes down into the condenser coil. Now, the condenser coil is the bit out the back. So that's the bit that goes outside. It has the fan in the back, and then that then blows the superheated vapor, and it blows air across it, ambient air. And in when you're in the cooling cycle, that then starts blowing very, very warm. So it starts dropping the temperature of the gas. Well, it's not actually dropping the temperature of the gas as it's coming through. It's actually taking out the latent heat. And latent means unmeasurable or invisible heat that's inside the gas, which is another one, a strange one to try and understand. So then as it then comes out of the condenser coil at the bottom, and then that becomes a subcooled, and subcooled means below its boiling point. So now it's dropped to below its boiling point. So a subcooled liquid in water could be 99 degrees and a superheated vapor could be 101. But now this is still at high pressure. So now as it travels around to the left, to something called an expansion valve or a TXV. Now, these valves can be automatic or electronic, and typically in a modern system, they're electronic. So this regulates the pressure that comes into the system. So it comes in maybe on a quarter inch pipe. It's all in imperial. It's like American stuff. And then through that expansion valve, it allows a tiny amount to come through, but into a larger pipe. So as we know with gas, we increase the diameter of the pipe, it lowers the pressure. We lower the pressure, we lower the temperature. So as it then passes through that TXV on the way to the evaporator coil, it then increases in volume and then decreases in pressure, which means the temperature drops. So now we have a low pressure saturated liquid. And saturated, all that means, it's at that gas liquid sort of crossroads, really. It's at that point where it's both at the same time, and it doesn't know whether it wants to be a liquid or it wants to be a vapor or a gas at that point. So it's at that critical point there. So as it goes through the evaporator coil, now the evaporator coil is the bit that's inside your house, so that'll be up on the wall blowing the cool air across your lounge. So it takes the warm air from the room, blows it across the very, very cold liquid gas that's now coming through the coil, and then that starts to heat up. So the heat transfers from the air from the room and then soaks up into the liquid saturated gas that's running through the pipework and through that heat exchanger. And then when it comes out of there, it's now a low pressure superheated vapor, and that's now ready to enter the compressor. And as it does that there, obviously then the byproduct of that is what we want. We want a cooled air being blown away from the air conditioning system, the evaporator coil inside the room. And that's the bit that we want. Obviously the byproduct of that, of the whole refrigeration cycle, excuse me. So that then comes up into the suction line, which then goes into the compressor. So it's just a really, really simple setup that there. There's no filter dryers, no sight glasses, no liquid receivers. And it only shows the cooling cycle of the refrigeration process. So if we was to physically turn that round the other way, and reverse the whole cycle, it will warm the room rather than cool it. And this is where the heat pump technology is exactly the same. This isn't as efficient as a heat pump, the dedicated heat pumps that are being sort of shown around, but they are far, far, far cheaper than the heat pumps. And it doesn't deal with hot water, it only deals with air. It's very, very fast also at heating up spaces. So you could turn on your air conditioning system onto heat, and within a couple of minutes it's now blowing up really warm air and now starting to heat up the room very, very quickly. And on the heating cycle, it boasts around about 300% efficiency on a kilowatt of electricity to heating. The efficiency is a bit less for cooling. So they tend to measure that on around, it's about 10 degrees less from the current ambient air temperature to the cool air coming out of the evaporator that's in the room. But with the reduction in humidity, because the air will condensate around it up onto the heat exchanger of the evaporator, and that water is taken away, It'll actually feel much lower than 10 degrees because the humidity, the air's a lot drier. It's like being on holiday. Here in the UK, we have very, very wet summers. So although it feels nice and hot, it actually feels very, people describe it as being very close. It's the humidity in the air. And when we go to these tropical places and the air's a lot drier, we could be 25 degrees walking around. It feels quite comfortable. But back home, it doesn't. Also, there's some air filters inside the air conditioning units, which helps bring down the dust particles for flying around. So it does a little bit of air cleaning as well. So a little bit of history on the gases, really. So there are some old harmful gases. So if we go back to the old CFCs, the old propellants, they was using a lot of chlorine gases, which were very harmful to the ozone layer and the greenhouse gases. So there's been various summits, the Montreal summit, and there's been a few others as well, which have brought in the reduction on these harmful greenhouse gases. And these are being replaced over the years to more environmentally friendly ones. But some really old systems are now obsolete as there are no replacements for them. The R32 gas, which is a slightly flammable gas, is now the F gas of choice into systems. And you'll see that stamped sometimes on the sides of the old R448As and the R32s. And they all have different properties. And, you know, wherever we are, if you're up into, up into the Nordic countries where it's very cold, or we're down on the equator where it's very, very hot, different gases have different characteristics and are better suited to different environments. So that's our sort of F gas, really, in a bit of a nutshell. Obviously, there's a lot more to it, and those that are interested into getting into it, it's a fantastic, fantastic sort of training, really, and understanding on refrigerant gases and how they work. So what we've been up to? Well, me and Dave have been training all last week, so we've sort of been out of the loop a little bit. The weather's on the change here, so we're not fully out of the winter season at the moment. I'm in the office, still got my little fleece on, so the temperature's still dropping down in nights, down into the single digits. And we're around sort of the low teens during the day with a bit of sunshine, so it actually feels nice with a little bit of the old infrared heat coming off the sun. So we're still getting a bit of a mixture of calls, really, between some of the reactive stuff and some of the planned stuff. So on Friday afternoon, and this is an absolute classic, I had a quote to do in a commercial setting to replace some gas pipework in the building. So I won't say where it is or what the nature of the commercial building is set up like. But I walked into there, I met the owner of the business, fantastic, walked up to the gas incoming to the building. The first thing I said, I smell gas. And he said, do you? And I went, yeah, I do. So I'm in the car, I don't have a tool bag, but the only thing I've got is a gas sniffer in the back of the car. I don't have anything else, no tools, no spanners, no disc caps, absolutely nothing else. So I got the sniffer out, went to there, and the thing went crazy. Absolutely, he's going for it like a screaming banshee. I'm like, we've definitely got a gas leak. I've got to turn it off. So this was Friday afternoon. So we had some planned commercial works to do on Saturday down in Surrey. There was three of us, me, Dave, Jack, and me, Dave, and Jack. So I said, oh, okay, I'll see if I can get along on Saturday evening, or I'll have to come back on Sunday. So this is Sunday. I've been down there this morning. And what we had is we had a gas solenoid valve. And I'm a little bit suspicious about the qualifications of this domestic person that installed this stuff when I looked around at the rest of the installation. But there's some unions. It's a 2-inch gas solenoid, and it had a couple of bushes. And basically the bottom bush was like covered in plumber's paste, absolutely caked in it all around the flat sides of the nut. And it was just everywhere. And I was a bit suspicious of that because you don't usually see that. You see that there'd be a little bit of paste up onto the fittings and it'd be wiped off and that's it. But no, it was absolutely everywhere. And hey presto, hopefully I can show you the picture. Two of them were bubbling, the top and the bottom one. So there was no brake unions there, and it was all in track pipe. And track pipe, I'll do another video on track pipe, is a great way of dealing with some gas installations, but it's a really, really expensive way of doing stuff. And I'm thinking that this gas person that did that had no clue on either costings, because it's an absolute fortune, but B, on commercial settings there. So I'm probably going to have to report that person to GasSafe, which will be the second person, unfortunately, this year, actually, for a domestic person working on commercial and getting it wrong and leaving gas leaks, which is what we cannot deal with. So, yeah, so certainly we've got some, because some of the appliances nearby were actually open flued appliances. And open flued means we can actually see the flame. And what we can get is the gas is leaking one side, nearby there's a flame, and it will just flash over. And all of a sudden you've got a massive fireball. And now the where the gas leak is, it's now on fire uncontrollably, which is a catastrophe. And obviously, you know, buildings, businesses and people's lives are at risk at this point. So what else have we done? So I've said it before a couple of times, we're a proud supporter of a couple of local children's based charities. And every Easter we do a little something for them. So I purchased some big chocolate eggs for them to raffle off for some funds. So Holding On and Letting Go, based in Rochester, and My Shining Star in Raynham will both be auctioning off their eggs for some vital funds for their charity pot, so they can keep on going. So, you know, if you can find them, get bid in, and then hopefully you'll be in a chance to win one of these chocolate eggs. These are retail at 125 quid each, and they come from Cocoa Bar, the local chocolate factory. Actually, it's just over the road from here, and we bought some eggs from them. Also, the Easter Bunny, the Gaslight Easter Bunny, will be somewhere in Medway, and they'll be giving away some little treats for the kiddies. So that will be posted up onto social media a little bit closer to the time. And if you was to come and see downstairs, it's full of bits and pieces at the moment, where we're just getting all the stuff, bits, you know, all the stuff clated together. So it's absolutely fantastic. We love a little bit of that. We love a bit of giving away, and we love a bit of charity work here at Gaslight. So this week coming, we have a bit more commercial work that's growing, coming along. We're growing every single month for the commercial work, which is absolutely great. It just means some really early starts for me, but I don't mind it. Don't call me up at 9 o'clock at night. I'll be fast asleep. But if you're up at 4 a.m, potentially I'll be as well. So I hope you really enjoyed this little episode here on refrigeration gases. And over the next week or so, we'll be joining up with Refcom, and we'll be able to offer our air conditioning services. So thank you very much. You take care, guys. Have a fantastic week. If you've got any questions at all about anything that we do, want any questions answered, podcast@gaslight.net. Have a fantastic week, guys. See you soon.